everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Fortcast, the official vodcast of Fort Healthcare. I am your host, Dr. Michael Anderson, ear, nose, and throat doc, and president and CEO of Fort Healthcare. And I am very excited to have our guest today, Dr. Guillermo Valenzuela, who's one of our wound and edema specialists. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of the Fortcast, Dr. Valenzuela. Please, I've been with Fort Healthcare for a little over 20 years. Maybe just tell us a little bit of just about how long you've been with Fort Healthcare.
So right now it's been almost 2 years since I started here. Very happy that I made this decision.
Well, trust me, we're happy too. And it's amazing how 2 years can go so fast. It feels like you just came to our campus yesterday, but we're very excited to have you. You do an amazing job taking care of our patients and community. Now, being a wound specialist, Dr. Valenzuela, can you tell us a little bit about your educational background and kind of how you ended up doing wound and edema?
Yes. So, I'm an internal medicine trained physician, previously trained in general surgery in Venezuela, where is where I come from. When I was an internal medicine resident, I had a passion for wound healing. So I decided that was the field I wanted to go into. I did my research about how to further train in this other than, you know, being a surgeon and an internist. And I found out that I could pursue fellowship in wound healing and tissue repair. There's actually a few fellowships in the country, and I was glad I was able to get a position in one of those. And that's how I became a wound healing and tissue repair doctor.
I would really like to highlight that you've had a great deal of education behind being a wound specialist. When people go the internal medicine route, just for our listeners and viewers, that is the gateway to other specialties like cardiology, like pulmonology. And so to become a wound specialist is a pretty significant training period. Well, we're very happy that you decided to go that route. Fort Healthcare's Wound and Edema Center is pretty unique in that we're very fortunate to have somebody with your fellowship trained expertise leading that wound and edema team. Tell us a little bit about what kind of wounds you typically see, and also when do you see patients and or other physicians refer patients to you?
So as a wound doctor, typically we treat every single wound, right? Most commonly, we're going to treat diabetic foot ulcers, venous-like ulcers, which are pretty common. We also treat those chronic surgical non-healing wounds that for some reason stop their normal healing. We also treat radiation wounds for patients that unfortunately have cancer and have to go through radiation therapy. That's very common. And any wound that has not healed in the normal healing rate, that should be 4 to 6 weeks. Patients normally self-refer most of the time because they see that their wound is not healing. But we also have a great deal of patients that are being referred, especially by podiatry, by family practice, or by surgeons which have already worked on this wound for some time and they don't know what else likely can be done on the wounds.
So you would say that typically ulcers of the skin, those are a big demand for that. Non-healing. And did I hear that if it doesn't heal within 4 to 6 weeks, that's typically when you get involved?
Yes. And that's kind of like the common time. Not that there is a set amount of healing time, but you know, in the standard normal patient, if a wound is taking more than 4 weeks to heal, then we have to look into why is this wound not healing. And that's where my training comes in handy.
So let's talk a little bit about that. So say somebody has a wound that isn't healing within 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and they come to see you, whether it's self-referred or another physician is just saying, hey, can you help me out with this? What are the number one and two causes of that non-healing wound?
So when I see a patient for the first time and they come with a chronic wound, the main first thing I do is not just to look and ask about the wound. It's about the whole patient itself, right? What's the past medical history, past surgical history? What's going on besides the wound that can be playing a role in this? That's basically the main thing. But then you have to go into kind of the main characteristics of the wound to know is this under control or not? And then we're talking about if the patient is diabetic or not, if they have peripheral arterial disease or good blood flow to the area, if they smoke or not, you know, if they're on any kind of a special treatment like immunosuppressive medication, or if they have an autoimmune disease. Also, if there is infection or if there is a lot of pressure, external pressure being applied to the area where the wound are. So you have to take care of all these areas, kind of have them under control, and then see if the wound is healing or not.
I'd like to highlight that for a moment. So your background in your education being an internist is extremely helpful in this, because it sounds like there's a lot of pre-existing or chronic conditions that can lead to a patient being a little bit more vulnerable to a chronic wound. And I think I heard you highlight diabetes, vascular issues, whether it's arterial or venous, potentially autoimmune diseases that are underlying, that all contribute to wounds not healing. So that is very important to assess on the patient first and foremost.
Yes, and I think I am actually pretty happy I was able to have the opportunity to do the both trainings, right, surgical and medical, because I feel like I can combine the best of both worlds to treat a wound. Majority of the wounds are going to have a medical component, but the surgical component also it's important, and my training allows me to act on that too. A lot of patients believe that, oh, you know, my diabetes is under control, so I have no issue. But then suddenly they develop an ulcer, right? And that's when you tell them, well, you know, the damage, what's already done, even if the diabetes was controlled or not. So it is very important, you know, patient education, which we also do, and prevention. That's another main part of this clinic too. To do prevention, have to prevent ulcers, how to, you know, if you already have one, what do you do next when you start noticing that there is a blanchable spot on your skin? Or if you fall again, what to do? A common thing we also have is patients that go to the emergency department because they have cellulitis or a little blistering on stuff. A majority of the time, it's not actually wound related. It's actually heart related, right? Because of leg swelling and stuff. So majority of the time, this is a clinic where those things get diagnosed and then the patients get appropriately referred. But it is very important to find out why is the wound there. I always say this to my patients, and it's that the wound is a symptom of something else happening in the body, not just a wound that just appeared.
And one thing I'd like to ask you a little bit more about is, you've been able to bring some pretty cutting edge wound treatments to Ford Healthcare and to our patients and community. So once you've actually assessed the chronic conditions or maybe predisposing factors of the patient, and now you're focused on the actual wound itself, can you just highlight a couple of the advanced wound abilities that you bring to help the wound close? And now I just want to say that I have a feeling that each one of these could be their own vodcast. But if you could just give us just an overarching view of some of the advanced wound healing techniques that you have at your disposal.
So before I answer that, I would like to add that a lot of patients and other providers sometimes think that wound care clinic is just a place where we change band-aids and put some dressings on. And that's not the case. The case is that we have a lot of advanced treatments to heal and help a wound. The main ones obviously are dressings, but we're not talking about just basic dressings that are sitting in the shelf. We're talking about dressings that can help by enzymatically debride a wound. We have sharp debridement, which is the surgical part of this wound care. Ultrasonic debrider, where we can take bad tissue, preserving the good tissue and also stimulating the wounds to heal. We also have hyperbaric oxygen therapy that can help a lot of chronic wounds heal. Most importantly too, we have skin substitutes, which are used after we have tried conservative wound care, but it hasn't helped. Then we can jump into that specialized tissue-based products that are very good. We have a wide range from pig placenta to fish skin to actual cadaver skin that we can use in this clinic. On top of that, we also have other cold energy-based therapies for wound healing, which are mist ultrasound for wounds that are very painful. Or I'm working on getting electrical stimulation, which is also proven to help with chronic wound healing. And also for debridement, we can use something called bacterial fluorescence imaging, which is a device that helps us see bacteria that we cannot see to the naked eye, and do targeted debridements, right? To instead of diagnosing a wound with infection, we can even catch it before even starting a patient on antibiotics. Also regular treatments that are the most common conservative treatment, but pretty much that's it.
Dr. Valenzuela, that was quite the list. And one thing I'd like to circle back to is when you say debridement of a wound, what does that mean and why is it important to healing?
So the debridement of a wound means basically when we clean the wound either by a mechanical way or sharply, right? That's what we call surgical debridement. It is important because every wound, it's what we call colonized with bacteria. On a little, their little house, as I call it, it's called biofilm. If we do not control the biofilm, then we are letting the wound get highly colonized or infected. And this is going to be one of the main issues why wounds are not healing. That's why in every visit, patients are most likely going to get debrided or clean the wound to help them heal. The debridement also stimulates tissue to grow and also resets the wound every time, telling your brain that, oh, we have an acute wound, we have to act on this and clean. Because remember, chronic wounds are kind of sitting there, the brain is not paying too much attention to them, so this is our way to tell the brain, hey, I have something here that you need to work on.
Dr. Valenzuela, I'd like to ask you another question centered around potential amputation. So I know sometimes people have non-healing wounds on their, particularly in their lower extremity, and it can lead to discussions on amputation. Do you see those patients? And if you do, are there measures you can take to hopefully prevent amputation from happening?
For sure. Those patients are always part of my panel. Wound care is a multidisciplinary specialty. Not only we can catch and prevent big issues like amputations, but also, you know, make the appropriate referrals at the time. And when I talk about appropriate referrals, I'm not talking about only a vascular surgeon for an amputation, but also people that have arterial disease that, you know, are preventing blood flow to the area where the wound is. So this can get evaluated and treated with angioplasty or et cetera. Same for people that come with wounds that are not healing and they've been there for years and then we get a biopsy, they turn out to be cancer. So that way we can refer patients to dermatology for their appropriate treatment. We can also, you know, avoid amputations by avoiding infection and having proper workup and treatment of bone infection, which can happen if you have a chronic ulcer on the foot or any other area of the body.
Well, I think what I heard there, Dr. Valenzuela, is you have a lot of disciplines available to help prevent an amputation, whether it's something you can do yourself, or if you get a vascular surgeon involved and improve the vascularity of the wound. Those are all techniques where you can really help prevent an amputation from happening.
Yeah, we're only not taking care of the wound, but our ultimate goal is limb salvage. And that's how I like to tell my patients, to always know that we're not here just for the wound, but to prevent future complications.
And then also, I'm just curious, when do you consider the hyperbaric oxygen therapy?
The hyperbaric oxygen treatment, it's been widely used for a long time now. However, there are certain diagnoses that are approved by Medicare to use. One of the most common ones, and the one we see the most here, is for diabetic foot ulcers that have certain criteria met, like infection, haven't healed in 30 days, then that's one of the indications to put patients in a chamber. The goal of the chamber is to basically have them in there breathing 100% oxygen, which at that point, oxygen becomes a drug, right? Helping with decreasing inflammation, helping with chronic infection, and also creating new blood vessels, which are very necessary for wound healing.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I learned so much in talking with you just in our day-to-day interactions, but the hyperbaric oxygen treatment is pretty important to wound healing as well. I got to tell you, Dr. Valenzuela, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Fortcast Vodcast. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And I also want to say thank you to our listeners and viewers. Please, if you have a non-healing wound or a loved one or friend has a non-healing wound, please reach out to Dr. Valenzuela for further treatment. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Please share us on your social media platforms and have a great day. And I look forward to seeing you again.